Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for what you do in our lives. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray at this time, Heavenly Father, you'd use the word of God to speak to our hearts, guide us and direct us, and show us the truths that we need to see from your word. I pray for each and every believer here this evening. Lord, strengthen them in their faith. Help them to look to you in all that they do. Lord, during these troublesome times and these days in which we live, I pray that people will not lose focus of the one who is in control. I also pray at this time, if there's someone here in our midst, they do not know the joy of sins forgiven, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day they trust in you. Again, Lord, we just pray in each and every aspect, you be glorified, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Entitled the message for this evening, Except Ye Repent, Ye Shall Likewise Perish. One standing in life or position does not determine their eternal destiny. Just because you are born in a certain background, or you are a part of a certain church family, or you're a certain group of people, does not determine your eternity where you'll spend it. What determines your eternity and where you'll spend your eternity is what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? In this passage of Scripture, there are those present who thought Galileans were sinners above all sinners. Sometimes we look at the world around us and we look at people and their practices, we look at certain people in their life, and we begin to think to ourselves, these people, they deserve the judgment of God. These are very wicked people. And when judgment comes, or if they face death, we say, they got what they deserved. And Jesus is teaching us a very important lesson here. We all deserve judgment. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Jews and Pharisees of the day, they looked on those around them with disdain. They were the religious of their day. They thought they were all right with God because of their practice. They thought they were all right with God because of their religion. And Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Whether born a Jew or a Gentile, the only thing that will prevent one from perishing is genuine repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way of escape. You must be born again. There is only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The truth is there. But this truth, which is held out before all, has to have a decision. Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some suppose the sufferings of people, as I've mentioned already is in direct correlation with their practice or sin in their life. But we must remember, the Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One day, death will come. Judgment will come. We cannot escape it. Judgment, the Bible even says, must begin first at the house of God. For us who know Christ, our judgment is not for eternal damnation, but our judgment is rather for our rewards in heaven, whether or not we'll have something to lay at the feet of Jesus. For those who do not know Jesus, those who choose not to repent, those who choose not to believe, their eternity is far worse than what we have in Christ. This eternity, if they choose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will put them in the place the Bible calls hell, which one day will be cast into the lake of fire. After the judgment, they'll determine how their punishment will occur there. But in this passage of Scripture, I want us to notice a few things. And first, the fruitless fig tree. This represents those who are unrepenting, those who choose not to believe. Then there is the Lord's long-suffering for the fig tree. There's the person in the garden who says, let it alone, give it some more time. And then there's the final results of the fig tree. First, I'd like for us to notice the fruitless fig tree. The fruitless fig tree. Luke 13, beginning of verse 6, I'll read again. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Many people have different views on who the fig tree represents, but I can tell you right now what the tree does represent. It does represent those who are unwilling to repent. Those who are not willing to have God take control of their lives. Every person on this earth, if they're going to bear fruit for God, the only way they're going to bear fruit is if they first know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But in each and every case, it begins with having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people believe that this tree, when it speaks of the 3 years, is speaking of the 3 years when Jesus was speaking to the Jews. He's trying to reach the Jews, and they wouldn't have anything to do with him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They weren't willing to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ was trying to show them the error of their ways, the unwillingness to listen. However, as we look at this, we can also apply this truth to each and every individual. A person who is lost in their sins is a fruitless tree. No one who is separated from God can bear fruit for God. Each and every individual, as we know them, are created for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God. We look around us, and each and every individual, not everyone glorifies God. That's obvious. Not everyone knows the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's desire is for each and every individual to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God's desire is for everyone to be that tree that bears fruit. The Bible says the following in the book of Luke chapter 13, in the beginning of verse 1. There were present that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. Do you think these people were extra wicked because of what they suffered? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God is telling them, each and every individual, regardless of their background, regardless of what is happening to them in this life right now, that if they don't repent, they don't get things right with God, they're going to end up in the same position as these Galileans. If you don't have things right with God, it doesn't matter how you perish on this earth or how you die, he said, you all likewise perish. What's he saying to them? He says, you're all going to face death someday. One day you're going to have to answer to God. And if you don't repent, you're going to face the same consequences. You can't measure a person based upon their practices, how truly wicked they are as far as they're standing before God. It's what they have done with the gift of God that determines where they'll spend eternity. Repentance is a sinner who humbles himself before God and places their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, who realizes, you know what? There's none good. When the Bible says there's none good, I'm part of that one who's not good. I'm nothing special. I deserve punishment. But by the grace of God, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. It's God's grace. I don't deserve it. That's what repentance is. It's realizing I don't deserve this, but I'm going to ask God to give it to me. It's a change of heart and mind regarding sin, which results in a change of heart and mind regarding God and making the right decision and asking Jesus to be your Savior. The Bible says the following in John chapter 3, verse 18. Turn there if you would. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says the following. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In order for our deeds to be fruitful, in order for us to be that fruitful tree, we have to believe. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he's condemned already, because they made a choice. And choice in regards to what they'll do with the Lord Jesus. Some will choose to believe, they repent and believe, some will choose not to. But God's warning is this. God's warning is very clear. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Judgment is coming. Judgment is certain. Just because you haven't suffered it now doesn't mean you have escaped. You have to deal with this issue today. We're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. The Bible teaches this. We know not what a day may bring forth. Today is the day of salvation. God has given each and every individual an opportunity to make a choice. What will they do? What will they do? Without the work of Christ in your life, you'll be the barren tree that one day will be uprooted and cast into the fire. Without God's changing of your life, not without God's intervening, you are utterly hopeless. You're that tree the Bible speaks of where he came. He says, where is the fruit? Where is the fruit on this tree? And one day when he comes again, he's going to ask the same question. And if the fruit's not there, he's going to cast it into the fire. John 15, verse 5 through 6 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide not in me, he is cast. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Those who do not repent and believe, and therefore they do not abide in Christ, will one day be burned, the Bible says. This is a sad truth, but this is the truth. This is what God tells us in his word. When we speak of hell and the lake of fire, we're not talking of something that is a fairy tale. We're talking of truth. It's a truth God warns each and every individual about. And the reason why he warns is because he doesn't want you to be there. He says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He wants you to make the right decision. He warns us. He gives us opportunity. The rejection of Christ and his work will result in the eventual perishing of the individual, just like the Galileans and those who were crushed under the Tower of Siloam. One day, people who have not made that right choice and repented not, they will end up in the same state. Regardless how good one is, they're never good enough apart from the work of Christ to enter into heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or how good your life has been. Doesn't matter how much of the law you've kept. I can tell you right now, there's somewhere where you have offended, somewhere you've come short of the glory of God. And without Christ in your life, you'll be cast in the place the Bible calls hell, the lake of fire. Not only do we see the fruitless fig tree, but we see the Lord's long-suffering for the tree. The Lord's long-suffering for the tree. Luke chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. And he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The Lord Jesus has always, along with the rest of the Godhead, been patient and long-suffering. God's not willing any should perish. God is always giving extra opportunities. We read in this passage of Scripture the time when he said, why does it cumber at the ground? Cut it down. Get rid of it. We see the intervening. And this represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He intervenes on the behalf of sinners. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He gives them another chance. He gives them another opportunity while they're here on this earth. God is long-suffering. It is because of his patience we're not all in hell. It's because of God's mercy. It's because of what he is willing to wait for. He's willing to wait so that none perish. Luke chapter 23, verse 32, the Bible says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Even when at the cross, the Lord Jesus was intervening on the behalf of sinners. He knew the outcome of the situation. He knew what would happen if these people were to die in their sin. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Give them another opportunity. When we consider the state of our world and the practice of mankind, it is only because of the Lord's mercy that God's wrath has not been poured out upon this world. When we look at how people can mistreat other people and murder and kill and commit adultery and all sorts of other sins against each other. And then most importantly, understand this, it is against God. And you sometimes wonder, why has the Lord tarried? Why hasn't the Lord punished these people for what they're doing? It is because he says, give them a little bit longer. Let's be patient with them. Turn the Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, beginning of verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, the Bible says, they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men can count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We often wonder, why has it been so long? And God says in his word, this is why. The reason why nothing has happened when it comes to the Lord's return, the reason why things continue as they were since the beginning, this is why. God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's going to give the tree a little bit longer because he doesn't want to see that tree cut down. He wants to see it bear fruit. God's going to give people a little bit longer. But we have to remember, and this is the truth in the Word of God, that one day that wait will come to an end. The Lord is going to return. He is not slack concerning his promises, some men can slack. And some people look at us and they say, these people, they gather around, they worship someone they can't see. They worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They always talked about the same thing. I remember what my mom and dad said. Nothing's ever happened. These people don't know what they're talking about. And God says they mock the flood. The Bible says they're willingly ignorant of. They see it in the world around them. They see the things that happen in creation. The scientists know. And they make up some story about evolution and there is all these other things that happen. They never go to the Word of God. Why is that? The Bible says they made a choice. But God is still willing to give them another chance. He's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:24 and following, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ will appear again. Those have trusted in him unto salvation, but for others, judgment. There's judgment coming. Judgment is coming, and the only way of escape from the wrath to come is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to that still small voice inside. Listen to the Holy Spirit when someone preaches to you and teaches you the Word of God. If you're here and you've never repented, you've never believed, God is speaking to your heart. You're watching on live stream. God's telling you right now, you need to believe. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You know it's the truth. You need to believe. Time is coming to an end. The reason why the world has not been judged is because the Lord's long-suffering. But he is coming. And finally, the final state of the tree. The final state of the tree. Luke chapter 13, verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The possibility of the tree either bearing fruit or not bearing fruit was a possibility. Yet to be determined. There's always a possibility. There's always a chance before you go through death's door of whether or not you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he speaks to these people and tells to them about the Galileans and those upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, he's telling them, judgment is coming. And you need to be prepared. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In this passage of Scripture, towards the end of the fig tree, we see if it bore fruit, then it would remain. But if it did not, it would be cut down. God is saying, one day I'm going to return to see what happened to this tree. And if it's bearing fruit, it will remain. But if it's not, I'm cutting it down. What God is saying is there's people in this world, they're going to make a choice. If they repent and they bear fruit for God, it will remain. Though they are dead, yet shall they live. But if it does not bear fruit, if they have never trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, then it will be cut down. The thing that will determine whether or not you face judgment of God for your sins is what will you do with Christ? The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, beginning of verse 34, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and have given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Regardless of how you die, and you will die, death is a certainty. It's not a nice thing to talk about. It's not a nice thing to focus on, but it's true. While we're here on this earth, one day we're going to die. But when you go through death's door, what you've done with Christ is the only thing that's going to matter. What you've done with Jesus, if you repented and believed, or you repented not and chose not to believe. When we look at the world around us, let us know the truth. There's only the believer and unbelievers. One day God is going to deal with such accordingly. Regardless of a person's practice, good or bad, regardless of what is happening to people in certain areas of this world and the things that they're suffering, we're not suffering, doesn't make them any worse than you are or I are. We're all sinners. But what makes a difference is whether or not a person repents and believes. There are many a tree that God sees that are fruitless here on this earth, and the only thing preventing their destruction is the long-suffering of God. God is patient. One may view the deaths of many being deserved because of their practice, but the Lord reminds us, except a person repent, they shall all likewise perish. It will not be a person's work or lifestyle that will determine whether or not they perish and spend at Christ's eternally in hell. It will be whether or not they believe in Jesus. The Bible says the following in the book of Acts. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says in the book of Acts, beginning 4, verse number 1, And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is come the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. It is through Jesus' name one must be saved. You will bear fruit for God, or you'll burn based upon what you've done with Jesus. This is the truth of Scripture. This is what God's Word teaches us. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you